Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Washington State University.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Oregon and Stanford.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Los perros esquimales están arriba. Y hoy, los patos de Oregón bow down to Washington.
Welcome back to the Dog Pod, your home for Big Ten bound Washington Husky fans. We're the original podcast covering the Washington Huskies tackle football team by the fans for the fans. I'm here with Mitch. I'm here with Law Dog. Hey, our boys are 2-0 with a 43-10 win over Tulsa. We're headed to East Lansing to face Michigan State this Saturday. We got to get into it, gentlemen. Blaster set the stun. We ready to go?
Let's do this.
Let's go.
All right, let's go. Here we go. We've seen two of our three non-conference games, one to go. We're putting up 50 a game. We're giving up an average of 15. Nearly 1,000 freaking yards receiving. Let's start this thing off by saying, as a fan, if you're not having fun right now, you're just not doing it right. If you can't enjoy this, you're doing it all wrong. Gentlemen, talk to me about what do you like so far? Like, what should Husky Nation be relishing in right now? Talk to me about that offense first.
Well, I mean, Michael Penix can drop back and throw the ball seemingly at will down the field, BT. So there's plenty to like about that. The scoring offense, they're eighth in the country right now against two admittedly not that strong opponents. Total yardage-wise, they're sixth in the country. So they're picking up right where they left off last season. I mean, they're moving the ball seemingly at will, other than maybe that first quarter against Boise State. And then, of course, we had kind of a turnover this week, which is a little unexpected, but you got to like what you're seeing through the air.
I saw leading the nation in passing yards per game, 472, passing touchdowns per game, percentage of plays that go over 10 yards, percentage of plays that go over 20 yards, number one in the nation, top three nationally, touchdowns per game, yards per play, touchdowns per drive, yards per possession, and explosive plays. Like, this is fun.
Yards per play, 9.2 yards per play behind only arch Big Ten rival USC.
Oh, that's just crazy, man. This has been an absolute blast of an offense to watch. And hey, defensive improvements, man. If you think of the doldrums of where we were last year, this is looking a lot better.
We kind of bottomed out. Last year, BT.
Yeah. We said nowhere to go, but up they've gone, right? Let's talk about it, man.
Yeah, I mean, you look on the depth on the team, it's really, I think, standing out. Last year, they were just thin in a lot of places, especially cornerback that got a lot of scrutiny. Some guys went down earlier in the season. And, you know, it just seems like there's more dudes that are out there, and they're rotating a bit more. Now, you know, look, like, you can nitpick here and there. I do think, you know, folks are upset about the pass rush a little bit. I think there's an aspect of that, of the quarterbacks that we've played. And I'm really interested to see this game live coming up this coming week, because it's more of a Big Ten offense with a pocket passer. I think they're going to get home a little bit more is what my gut tells me. So I'm really, really interested to watch this upcoming game. But, you know, I mean, I think it just feels like there's more playmakers. They feel a little bit more focused. There's better tackling. I mentioned this last time. I think Asa Turner has really turned the corner, which is a really big deal, I think, to have a really good quarterback back there in the secondary. And, you know, hopefully he stays healthy and can be out there. But, you know, I'm just impressed. They seem like they're flying around. And right now it's looking like a defense that's good enough to get them to the Pac-12 championship, which gets me really excited, guys.
Oh, man. And just a lot of fun stuff that we've watched. Like, I was trying to think of the last time I saw a corner blitz sack.
Yeah.
I mean, that was incredible to see. How about Cam Fab with two interceptions? You know, and the first game, as you mentioned, like I said, Turner just looked incredible. So it's been really nice to see these defensive improvements. And look, again, We're going to get into some nitpicks here, but if you're not having fun right now, Husky Nation, watching this, you're doing it wrong, man. Get out there and enjoy this. I mean, again, when have we had an offense? When have we had a trio of receivers like this? Maybe a quad of receivers like this? I don't think we can think of a time. And paired with a quarterback like this, you, like when you talk about Husky great quarterbacks, you can't have a conversation without Michael Penix, and you're getting to watch him this year. It's been pretty incredible. So now let's talk a little bit about some of the things. I mean, the only reason I think it's fair to open up is, look, this team is talking about Pac-12 championships. They're talking about national championships. So look, they're nitpicking. Let's go a little bit too. The first thing we saw, and I think this is a theme, we were all there on Saturday. Beautiful, sunny day in Husky Stadium. But look, it was kind of sloppy. There was some sloppy play, some things to iron out. What did you see out there?
The drops obviously stand out, right? I mean, Jalen had the drop that would have been a touchdown. And, you know, you notice those things. I think they're pretty glaring. You know, I also think that those are the types of things that we don't need to think about or in the back of our mind for all season long. You could chalk that up as to, some guys had a bad game. Also, certainly, you know, you're not really able to run the ball, even in those, you know, second short, third and short types of situations. The Husk, you know, they try, the offense is grub, and they're trying to get the run game going, but it just is not happening. And I think if you're Kalen DeBoer, you're coming up on this weekend and you're looking at a third and one, what's going to be your play call, right? Because I think there's no one you can really count on that situation based on what you've seen these first two games. So certainly work to do, but like we've talked about before, when this passing offense can move the ball in such big chunks and such, you know, yardage at a time, it's tough to have too many complaints.
Mitch, what do you think about that run game? Are you as concerned as I am? I kind of rang the bell last week.
Yeah, you know, I mean, am I as a classic Husky fan? Yes. If I'm rooted in these, teams that went to the Rose Bowl, they could all run the ball, right? We had big offensive linemen who would gash. But guys, at some point in time, we're going to need the run game a little more than where it's at today. That being said, I think I'm becoming zen with this. If we've got open receivers and they're going to let guys come over the middle and let Penix throw it, I'm going to take it, guys. I'm going to take it any day. I'm going to trust Jalen McMillan. I'm going to trust Roman Duzé. I'm going to trust Jalen Polk. I'm going to trust Jeremy Bernard making catches and making plays on fourth down if need be. Like, I think I'm becoming okay with this of like, if defensive coordinators are going to stack the box and give that to us, we'll take it all day. And quite frankly, more times than not, those guys are good enough. They might take it to the house on some of these plays. So, you know, we'll see where it goes. Now, my one caveat on that is it's likely going to change. It's, as we know, in November when it's rainy and gnarly out, that's when, you know, you want that run game. But man, if they can keep playing at this level, then I'm just telling my old OCD 90s dog fan to chill out inside of me and enjoy it.
you're right, because we've all during those great times, you've always had a Gaskin, you've had an Ahmed, you've had, you know, just go down the line. And so this is a little bit tough. It worries me a little bit, like some of the sweep plays that they're doing where they're running receivers on run routes, and those are accumulating for a lot of the running yards that we're getting. Is a little bit concerning to me of thinking like, wow, is that, I'm glad that we have that in the arsenal, but is that really what, you know, is the best use of, you know, of that play and of those players' times? A little bit, one thing that concerned me about that sloppy play was the biggest one was the drop from McMillan that was run back where Michael Penix had to make the tackle, this kind of shoestring pull tackle. And from what I heard, everybody that was on the field absolutely got lit up because there was a lot of standing around, watching that guy run it back until Penix had to go out there and make a diving, tackle, which is not the thing that you want him doing. And look, I guess the only third thing I'd say, I mean, I think everybody's talking about, look, a little sloppy play on Saturday, they cleaned it up, but, you know, against a better opponent, that will cost you the game. The run game, I think at some point, someone will have to emerge. Is it going to be Tybo? You know, is Dylan going to get healthy? Like who's going to be there? We saw a little bit with Daniel Nagata. Is that going to be it? Will Nixon going to emerge and make those improvements that he already started to do from last year, this year, but still has not shown to be like the bell cow that we need? The thing that concerns me right now, I'll talk about, is injuries, right? I mean, let's go through. We've already had him, and this is what got us last year. But on defense, Asa Turner, he had an immediate hand injury in the game. And that bugged him all summer. And so he was in street clothes, right? After just a great game against Boise State, maybe his best game as a Husky. You know, Cam Flab, he played 51 snaps, played quite well, but that also forced Mikel Esteem and Vince Noonley in. These guys didn't even play last week, right? And that could have been, you know, look, the score was getting a little bit out of hand. And so fine, let's get those guys some snaps. Davon Banks, you know, he was injured, leaving Elijah Muhammad. And I think he maybe comes back this week, but after that great first game Davon Banks had, you'd like to have him. ZTF injured in practice with Tui Tui Tele early in the Tulsa game, all sitting out. And look, maybe that's precautionary, but you need those two. You definitely need those two. You know, let's keep going through though. Mateo Mele left the Tulsa game with an upper arm injury. No status, but that doesn't look good, right? That puts Parker Brailsford moving over from right guard. Maybe that puts Garen into the center spot. Maybe that's Garen Hatchett to guard or Nate Coleppo to guard, and then Julius Boello over to left guard. But that's a concern to me. You know, that Mateo Mele, like having that rock in the center is a concern. And then the last thing, as we talked about, running back play, Dylan Johnson didn't play at all. And he's a maybe for Michigan State. So look, against Tulsa, I don't know how much it mattered, but we're going into hostile territory that we're going to get into right now. And these injury bugs absolutely concern me. Haven't already shown their face.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're also probably taking precautions because it's Tulsa and a guy maybe could go this week that couldn't go or that they took out last week as a precaution. So we'll see. You know who's healthy by who's going to show up at Spartan Stadium. That's how you know who's healthy. Because if they've got them, they're going to play them.
That's right. The things that concern me more, I think, are things that we heard about in this, you know, where like Asa had, you know, he had a hand that's bugging him in the summer, and then that comes back. And the same thing of like, you know, Dylan Johnson of, having that lower leg injury and then come back. And that thing kind of concerns me as well, you know, versus just popping out like a second play, you know, but we'll see. Look, let's get into the game this week because this thing is huge. This thing is massive. Saturday, we face a Spartan team looking to avenge their 28-39 loss in Husky Stadium last year. They came in as the number 11 team in the land, and we're sent home packing. And this was again, by the end of the season, maybe this wasn't quite the one that we thought it was at the time, but this was definitely a we are back game. This is one of the most fun times I've had in Husky Stadium in a long time. We did not anticipate the turmoil that this program is going through, but we got a game to play, right? This is the fifth meeting between these two, and we've only lost once. And that was when Nixon was in the White House. We don't lose to these guys.
Yikes.
This year's team is going to look wildly different than what we saw last year. Let's get into the first piece. We know we're going to have to put up some points. What are we going to see in the Husky offense against that Spartan defense? What do we want to see? Who are we coming up against?
Well, Tucker, known to be a DB coach, as he was under Saban, right? And they had a secondary that was in the top, you know, half or top third of the country 2 years ago when they won 11 games. Let's all sit back and remember. 2 years ago, they won 11 games. So when they came into Husky Stadium, we were looking, you know, at what we thought was going to be a top 10 team, and they were coming off two wins against nobodies, just like they will be today on Saturday. So, but last year their secondary really took a hit, and they were down near the bottom of the entire country. And they lose two starters, and you know, I think that's where the Huskies are going to start. They're going to start by attacking through the air. That's what they're best at, right? So I think, you know, we're going to see Penix and Grubb go into their bread and butter. I could see them trying to establish a run game a little bit early on just to see what they've got, what they're up against that Michigan State front. But I would expect we're going to see more of the same. Penix going back and airing it out.
What do you think, Mitch? What do you want to see, and what are you expecting for these guys? You're going to be there in person.
You know, I've got my trip report all ready to come back, guys. I'm taking copious notes on Big Ten territory. It really is a advanced scouting a mission here. I agree. I think, you know, Law Dog, to your point, I think what I think all Husky fans are really hoping for is a fast start. Right. To start like, we're going to take what they give us. And I would agree. Like, look, we're probably going to go to our strength right away, which is the passing game, like we just talked about. But if there's some lanes that are open, maybe they get the running game going. But like what I'm looking for is a fast start and for Grubb to work his magic. Right. His, you know, going and going through progressions and putting it in Penix's hands to say, hey, just take what they're giving us and let's just get off to a fast start is what I'm hoping for.
Well, and we haven't even talked about the Tucker situation, right? He's accused of sexually mistreating, I guess we should say, one of the biggest and most well-known sexual assault survivors and public speakers and public activists about the issue, Brenda Tracy, and suspended for the game. So, I mean, I think last year we went into
ASU.
ASU in the similar situation, right? Herm Edwards had just been fired, and what was going to, you know, and instead of the downtrodden ASU, you know, roster we thought we were going to get, we got the why not us ASU who jumped up and beat you. So, and certainly with last year fresh in their memory, this team's, you know, got a lot to prove against Washington. So even more important, I think, that they get off to a fast start and just try to start burying Michigan State early and work into that psyche a little bit, because Mitch is right. If you do that, you can maybe take it all the way here.
Stadium reminds me a lot about a lot of CU, where you mean reach out. You can if you're behind the Husky bench, you reach out. You can high five somebody. It is they are right on you, and it's going to be loud. It's always a rocking crowd there. And I think that the fans are going to respond. And if the team can look, get that crowd out of the game early. I will say from what I see, the offensive line is definitely the weakness versus the defensive line. The defensive line has made some improvements and if you can get that run game going this week, I think this is going to be another level of physicality than what we've seen in the first two games that we're coming up against. It's going to be interesting to see, but I think they are going to need to get that crowd out of the game early. I'll say this. I think our defense is going to have their hands full in comparison to what we saw with Tulsa. Just like ASU, not facing the quarterback that you thought you were going to, the year prior, Peyton Thorne, he takes his talents to Auburn and does the leading receiver from last year, Keon Coleman, just if you saw it, absolutely crushing it at Florida State. So bring on 6'2" junior quarterback Noah Kim, who started slow the first two games. But then this week he was named Big Ten Player of the Week, completes his final 15 passing attempts, 15 for 15, going 18 for 20, 292 yards, and 3 touchdowns. He's shown some ability to run when needed. I don't know if I'd call him a dual threat, but when he has to, he can pick up yards. He's the top 3 rated quarterback in the Big Ten to date in the first two games. No slouch. This is no Peyton Thorne, but this guy's no slouch. Sparty has 3 of the top 10 rated wide receivers in the Big Ten: Christian Fitzpatrick, Jason Glover, and Trey Mosley. And look out. Hey, who's number 4? Antonio Gates Jr. Got his first touchdown of his career last week. Running back wise, Nathan Carter has been who they've gone to. He's transferred from UConn, real solid running back, ran for 111 on 19 carries against Richmond. The other run by Jalen Berger, who I think we thought was going to be the mainstay, was injured against the Spiders, may not play. They're still trying to find this Kenneth Walker, and they just have not found. I mean, there was only one, right? Their O-line, in my opinion, has just looked sketchy. Just not enough push against two weaker teams, where the line should absolutely flourish against the Richmond Spiders. And you look at what they're doing against Richmond, they're using double tight end formation and still not getting push, 4.3 yards a carry against a Richmond team. That to me is a weakness we should be able to exploit.
And last year we did. And that was a huge part of the game. It was a huge factor in the game. And so we look at our pass rush struggling against Tulsa, and then we look at Michigan State's weakness on the O-line, and we think, you know, that was a huge part of the recipe that beat them last year. If we can't replicate that again, you know, it's going to be a tougher task.
You'd like to think, look through two games, these guys are much more balanced than we are. 55% of their play calls are run. Right? So let's get ready for that. We haven't seen that yet. The O-line, I mean, maybe a little bit with Boise, right? But the O-line, I think, again, they struggled. I want to see Braylon Trice. I want to see a healthy ZTF. I want to see Void Tanufi absolutely go nuts off the edge. And Thule and MJ stuff the middle. This is going to be, in my opinion, a very big test. Let's assume Cam Fab is in there, if Ace is not healthy, against some of the best receivers he's faced. So I'd say, look, young man, this is your time. And Elijah Jackson, let's see what you can do. Particularly if we don't have Davon, this is your day, Elijah. Let's see what you can do out there. I just think this is going to be another level of a challenge, and I think we're really going to see what this defense is made of.
I think Cam Fab's probably one of the biggest and best surprises of the season so far.
So far, he has been.
Yeah. And he's played really well back there. And also, I mean, you know, I was talking about this with guys we were sitting with, BT, last week. The secondary's not the issue. It's not the issue this year the way it was last year. And whether that's because of new bodies, better coaching, whatever, if we can just kind of play up to our talent level on the front, then I think this defense, you know, can surprise some people.
Yeah, I mean, the linebackers have certainly played really well so far this year. So I totally agree, Law Dog, that we just need a little bit more push. And I'm curious, like, this is the game to see it.
This is your A game, right? I mean, they played incredibly well in their B game against Boise State. They did what they needed to do against Tulsa in their C game. This is your A game in your non-conference schedule, and you got to go out and make, you know, a national audience of all those Peacock subscribers. You know, get their money's worth from this. They're $5.99 a month. All right, so we're going to get into predictions for this. But first, let's go through a little bit of the Pac-12 schedule, and then we'll do the Huskies last. Keep these listeners honest. Let's go through it. This was what a crazy week too. Let's start with the OG Pac-12. I'm going to keep giving these guys their respect because they deserve it. They're sticking it out with the conference. Last week, Oregon State, they came in that 6 p.m. game against Davis. No line, but an absolute beatdown, 55-7. This week, the number 16 Beavers hosting 2-1 San Diego State at 12:30 on FS1. Vegas says Beavs by 24.5 in Corvallis.
Yep.
What do you say?
Give me the Beavs. I'm on the Beav train this year. They took care of business last week. They could score. They're going to continue to do so. I was surprised that UCLA really handed it to the Aztecs last week, 35-10, I believe. Oregon State's better than UCLA. I like the Beavs.
I'll eat a little crow here. I was a little bit down on Oregon State. I think they... Not only that, you look at these offensive efficiency stats, BT, that we were citing earlier, and at number 16 in the nation, yards per play, you find Oregon State. So Uiagalelei's made a huge difference for them, it seems like, so far. Then again, they might have played two of maybe the worst opponents of any Power 5 team so far. So I'm not gonna go all in. I am actually going to pick them in this one to cover against San Diego State, though.
I'll take the other side of that. It's a big running team. I think it's probably a 3-score game. Maybe 21-24.5 is a little rich for me. I'll take the other side of that. But, you know, look for the Beavs to roll. All right, next one, the other side of the OG Pac-2. They wanted – Wisconsin came in wanting revenge for that 17-14 loss. What a game. Number 19, Wisconsin Badgers. I mean, what a crazy game. They headed to Pullman. Badgers favored by 6. Biggest Pac-12 win of the week. Cougs roll 31-20. Don't schedule a home and home with Wazoo. Why would you go out there to Pullman? This week, can you believe it? The number 23 ranked Cougs. Who thought that? Number 23 ranked Cougs. Again, 8 Pac-12 team ranks this week. They're hosting 0-2 Northern Colorado at 2 p.m. on Pac-12. No line for this one. Cougs are going to roll against Northern Colorado. Again, not only Northern Colorado team, but a Northern Colorado team that is 0-2 heading into the Palouse. We'll see. We're going to see how good these guys are. On to the future ACC. Let's talk about some ACC ACC opponents. Here we go. Last week, it was a big one for Cal. They hosted the Auburn Tigers. Auburn, just a 6.5-point favorite. Auburn would win a very close game, but don't cover. 14-10 in a pillow fight with the old Baby Bears. This week, 1-1 Cal hosts 2-0 Idaho, 1 p.m. on Pac-12 networks. No line there. You know, once again, and Cal going up against that Idaho team should roll. No line. Stanford. We'll talk about their game against USC here shortly. This week, 1-1 Stanford hosts 2-0 Sac State, 5 p.m. on Pac-12. No line on this game either. Look, Vegas just does not want to take our money. They don't want it this week. But this one, I mean, Stanford, you're trying to pencil in wins this year. You're trying to pencil in your second win. Those better be it. Let's talk Big 12 football. Last week it was Arizona. They traveled to Starkville, Mississippi for the first half, the back half of their home and home with the Bulldogs. Bully was favored by 9, but it was a close win. Mississippi State, they needed overtime to beat Arizona, 31-24. They do not cover. This week, hey, let's perk up, boys. There's a line. 1-1 Zona hosts 1-2 UTEP in Tucson, 8 p.m. Pac-12 late night antics. Wildcats favored by 18. How say you, boys? Ooh.
I mean, Jaden Delora just keeps throwing interceptions, guys. A lot of them. You know, I think they win this game, but I don't know if they win by 18. I'm going to take UTEP with the points.
You know, who knows? I don't know anything about UTEP. I mean, I'm gonna go with Arizona for a comeback revenge game. I do like the way that they're being coached. I thought they'd have a tougher time than you guys did last week. They showed out pretty well, even though they didn't come out with a win. I'm taking the Wildcats.
I'll take Wildcats by 3 scores, maybe a 21-point game against the down UTEP team. Give me Wildcats. So here we go. This is the welcome to the Big 12. ASU hosts the Cowpokes of Okie State. Man, this was a tough one. Okie State was favored by 3. I think we all took Oklahoma State, and they would win and cover 27-15. This week, the 1-1 Fighty Kenning Dillinghams host 2-0 Fresno State. Bulldogs by 3. Oh, the disrespect.
This is an easy one for me. I'm taking Fresno State all day. Right? They got a great coach in Tedford. He knows how to get that team ready. They're 2-0. They're rolling. I think Arizona State is going to have a harder and harder time as the year progresses. It's their first year coach. He's trying to keep these guys motivated. They don't have anything to play for this year. Nada. Zero. No bowls going on. They got a bowl ban. I think the wheels are going to come off in ASU. I'm taking Fresno State.
I mean, I would have said that a year ago with Herm. And, I think Dillingham's getting, tested heavily early on here. I can't take ASU after what we've seen. I mean, they just haven't looked the part of a Pac-12 team. So I'm also going to take the Bulldogs and I Jeff Tedford, baby.
Look, I want to be a contrarian, but I can't do it on this one. I was surprised by the line at 3. I thought it'd be at least a touchdown. Give me the Bulldogs. Okay, here was the big one, man. CU hosted Nebraska. I mean, just absolutely wild. And the Buffs would win. They'd win big. 36-14. It wasn't even that close. Game day in Boulder this week. Hate week part 2 for Boulder. It's number 18 CU hosting the 0-1 Lamb Chops of Colorado State, 7 p.m. on ESPN. Those Buffs co-eds are going to be very well marinated by kickoff. You got to love when you have game day in and a 7:30 freaking kickoff, man.
Yikes.
Buffs favored by 23 over Colorado State. So I'll say you guys, what do you think?
So first off, I would say it's pretty cool to see Folsom Field rocking, right? Oh, yeah. Like, that was neat. I watched that Nebraska game. Regardless of whether you're a Coach Prime fan or not, it's awesome to see exciting college football in Folsom Field again. Colorado State's pretty bad. I don't think Colorado's that good. I'm taking Colorado to cover just because Colorado State's really bad. I am looking forward to next week's line with that Oregon game. And I'm leaning heavy on Oregon, assuming people stay healthy as things pan out. But I think this game is going to be an interesting one to set up that line for next week. But I'm going to take the Buffs on this one.
Well, the way they're scoring, putting up points, Sanders and Hunter, I mean, Colorado State, who barely deserved to be on the same field as Wazoo, is not going to be any closer in this game. So I am all on the Buffs.
Yeah, give me the Buffs as well. It's such a cool story, and it's fun to watch. Some of our most enjoyable road games were down in Boulder, and it's great to see football back in that city.
I'm happy for them. I'm so happy for them.
Very cool.
They have a great tradition that if you're younger than about age 35, you probably don't know much about. But they have a great tradition, and those fans are loyal. It's an awesome story for them. I mean, I'm not rooting against them by any means, but the thought of playing them – and the Pac-12 championship game is pretty daunting, guys.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. I mean, I think this one, it's going to be an exciting game. I kind of think game day got it off by a week. I get that it's a rivalry, and I think they're trying to capitalize early on all of this excitement around Deion. I get it. But it would have been cool to have it there during the Oregon game. But there's a lot of different choices in a week and a half. So, hey, they're going to get it. Look, let's keep going. So Utah traveled into Baylor And look, this wasn't as easy as we thought it was going to be, but they do win. This week, Utah finally catches a break in their non-con schedule. They get 2-0 Weber State, 11 a.m. on Pac-12 networks. Nice to have an early pre-lunch game. No line on that. They should roll. Let's get into the future Big Ten. 4 p.m. on Fox. We saw it. Oregon at Texas Tech. Wow. These guys, the Terns of Oregon were favored by 6.5. Front door cover, if there ever was a freaking front door cover. I mean, they were a field goal away from losing this thing. Oregon wins 38-30. This week, number 13, Oregon hosts 1-2 Hawaii, 5 p.m. on Pac-12 networks in Eugene. Ducks favored by 37.5.
Ooh.
That's a lot of points. I mean, they're going to roll. It's like how long? I mean, okay, here's the thing that's annoying to me. Have you guys been picking up a game day? How they're paying these guys to just hold the bodacious signs up that clearly are just getting paid. They're not excited at all. They're just standing there holding those Heisman signs. It's just such a classic Oregon move. Just because of that, I'm taking Hawaii, baby. Give me Hawaii in the points.
Let's go, Rainbow Warriors.
Well, I mean, Mitch, I have to respect the process, right? I'm not fading the process right there. I'm respecting the process. Unfortunately, I cannot be with you. This is a team that lost to, Stanford by a couple touchdowns. Oregon is going to boat race them at home, especially in a revenge game, a get-right game with Colorado on the schedule up next. You'd think it was a trap. I'm buying the Ducks. I hate to say it.
I'm going to say Hawaii covers this thing only because look at even like very much lesser opponents, but they're within two scores of Vanderbilt, only within two scores at Stanford. This is still a lot. This is a ton of freaking points. I don't think it's going to matter. They're going to win by a bunch. Is it 40? I don't know.
My favorite thing on Twitter this week was at Gopher Cruz Dad, who tweeted out the Oregon cycle. Recruit overrated bums, don't develop them, beat their chest about offseason natties, start out 5-1, 6-0, finish with 3 or 4 losses, squeak out a bowl win, call themselves a national brand, have a massive exodus of transfers, and say Coach X is getting his guys. Repeat. And I was like,
that's pretty good. That's an amazing
one sentence rundown.
That is a 10-step program that repeats itself every year. Freaking amazing. I can't wait for it. Hey, hopefully it comes in Boulder next week. All right, UCLA, man, they traveled to San Diego State. And my goodness, man, this one, Bruins were favored by 14.5. They went and they covered big time, 35-10 UCLA. I mean, that was just an absolute crazy one. Bruins this week host 2-0 North Carolina Central. No line, but this is a number 24 Bruins team that I think is going to get really, really interesting. SC this week. So SC, let's talk about that Stanford game. Stanford, Trojans were favored by 29. They would win and cover big 56-10. I'm going to throw something at you guys here real quick, chew on. I think we talked about within the Pac-12 this year, there's this concept of like what I would say is, you know, the Big Five: Washington, Oregon, Oregon State, Utah, USC. That was your Big Five. And I think now there's a question I'll throw at you. It's like, so who's next? Is it a Big Six? And if so, is that UCLA? Is that Wazoo? Is it Colorado? And then if there's a tiering, I will say this week, one team stood out this week in the games that I watched, and it was USC. They absolutely looked like a dominant national championship caliber team. And that was the one where, I mean, a lot of teams look good. One team looked great, and that was SC.
They're going to be tough. They're absolutely going to be tough to stop. And I picked Stanford last week thinking they wouldn't cover a huge line, and they did it with ease relatively. And now they're heading into a bye week here. And then they've got a couple of road games. Arizona State at Colorado, then Arizona at home, and then they go to Notre Dame on October 14th. So, I mean, I think we're looking at 6-0 going into that Notre Dame game, and then they start their November gauntlet pretty soon right after that. So they're going to be interesting to watch.
Man, that Notre Dame game is going to be massive. It's just going to be really like one of those old school Clash of the Titans, it feels like, because Notre Dame's balling out too, right? They beat North Carolina handily, I believe, last weekend. So that is going to be a really fun game to watch. BT, I agree. I mean, we kind of went back and forth in last week's podcast, right? Like, oh my gosh, that's a lot of points. It's a Pac-12 game. It's got a lot of history and rivalry to it. And to Law Dog's point, USC smoked them. It's going to be – they're a really good team, man. They're going to be fun to watch all year this year.
Well, 49-3 at half, and they pull Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
49-3. And it looked like – I haven't seen anything like that in a while where one of the scorers we were watching, Caleb Williams was toying with them. He had three options to score a touchdown, either run it, two wide open receivers and a single corner on that side, just staring like, what do I do here? And just doink, I don't know. Pick your poison. I can score three ways on second and seven. So what do you want? I mean, it was unreal.
I think they're going to be 9-0 going into November 4th, against us. And, you know, I think they're the team to beat. They're the team to beat in the conference. I know there's a lot of talk about Washington. You see a lot of writers have Washington ranked ahead of them right now. But you got to give them respect where it's due. I mean, good teams kill the worst opposition. And that's how you know that you're good, when you're playing these teams. And they're killing people right now.
Agreed. If we were smart, let's just start taking the overs, guys. Come on. Let's just, get our acts together here.
This is the podcast just picks the overs. I'll take that. It's probably a lot easier. Look, we'll see. I think it's going to be interesting of does this, what I would say again, that what we thought preseason was the Big Five, maintain the Big Five, or one of these other teams coming in who, you know, look, maybe I wasn't giving UCLA enough respect. Maybe this Wazoo thing is legit and it's not just an aberration against a Wisconsin team who doesn't end up being good or couldn't travel, etc. And maybe this Colorado team isn't, you know, what I think, what we thought everyone right now is saying, oh, wow, it's at least a bowl game team, and maybe there's something better than that. Maybe they could sustain this, but we'll see. Last one. Dogs were favored by 34 over Tulsa, and wow, Vegas is smart. They would win 43-10, but they do not cover by one. Some people got that at 33.5. Crazy.
Well, BT, if you had listened to the Law Dog in the last podcast, I said, you know, I think they're going to come up a little bit short. Now, maybe I didn't get the why exactly right, but you know what? Not everybody's perfect.
Not everyone's perfect. I mean, look, and you can't tell with some of these big lines. This week, our beloved Huskies head out to 2-0 Michigan State. We talked about it. 2 p.m. Pacific on Peacock Networks. Wow. Okay. What the hell? Make sure, how are you going to view this at home? I think it's $5.99 to get Peacock Premium. A lot of other streaming channels, you get it for free. Dogs favored by 16.
I like it, guys. I'm taking the Dogs. I think we're covering it. I don't think Michigan State is going to have the firepower to keep up. They're going to run the ball. They're going to score some points. I'm not overly impressed with their quarterback. I've watched some of their tape so far. I think he's good, but he's not going to, I think, light this Washington defense up. I think the Washington defense does enough. They cannot handle Michael Penix, though. I think the Dogs cover the 16. Quick shout out to some homeboys that are going to be on this trip with me. Ryan Grukovich, big Dog Pod listener, wanted to have a quick shout out. There you go. Going to be there in person to check out the game. It's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, I tried to make it work. I have some buddies on the East Coast and one in Ohio, and I was trying to make that trip work. The flights were just crazy. The dates, it was a mess. I couldn't do it. But kudos to anyone who's making the trip to East Lansing for this, because they committed to it. And then we joined the Big Ten.
That's right.
So good for them. But I have to go with the Spartans here. I think Mitch is right. UW's going to outscore this Michigan State team. I don't think they're going to be able to keep up overall. But the Huskies are going to have to do a few things well that they haven't been able to do. They're going to have to get the pass rush going that they haven't been able to do. And they're going to have to stop the run a little bit and take care of the football to get this win on the road, because things just don't always go to plan on the long grass, on the road. We've seen them struggle over the years. I think the Huskies will win the game, but I like the points here.
It's a tough one. If I could choose a line, I'd like the Dogs at 17 or 20. I don't think this is 28 or more, but I do have to pick a side, you know. And if I think it's more likely to me to be a 17 or a 20 point win than it is going to be a 12 or a 14. So I'm going to take the Huskies to cover, but at the same time, I also don't give a shit. Just get the win. just go into East Lansing and get out of there with a W and get back, and let's get into some Pac-12 football. Fellas, this game is huge. Mitch, carry the dog pod torch there. Let's get loud, have some fun, and let's get hopefully back next week talking about a victory. Can I get a go, Dogs?
Go, Dogs.
Nope. Touchdown, Washington.
Yep. Washington State University.
Nope. Touchdown, Washington.
Yep. Oregon and Stanford.
Nope. Touchdown, Washington.
Yep. Los perros esquimales están arriba. Y hoy, los patos de Oregón bow down to Washington.